As was announced, the scripture reading will be Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish.
Good to be with you again tonight. We're thankful for everyone's presence here this evening. Just a couple of things. I'm not going to keep you very long. We have just three more points, shorter points, to make tonight with regard to a glorious church. So we'll do that in just a minute. I want to encourage the congregation with regard to our groups, as has been announced. Group 2 will be meeting right after services. And if you're not a part of a group, you can always become a part of one of the groups. Just let us know, and certainly we will include you into one of the 6 groups. We would like as many members as possible to be a part of these groups, especially with regard to the meetings on Sunday night. Of course, that is to make sure that all of the members who are sick or are shut in, that they are receiving calls and cards and that we're paying attention to each and every member that we have here. And, of course, as you know, once a month now, all of the groups together are going out into the community. And, again, we want as many people to be a part of that as we can. We recognize and understand that there are several members that simply cannot do that because of physical problems and situations just won't allow you, your physical health, to go out and walk. But those of you who can, we do want as many as possible. I think we had 50-something on the last time that we did it a few weeks ago. And that's good. That's a good number. But we can do better than that, really. We want even more to come out. And we only go half a mile is what you will walk. If you go out, it will be just about a half a mile, maybe a little bit shorter or a little bit longer, but we tried to measure them out about a half a mile. So that's not that much. If you just can't get out and walk, again, I know some have knee problems and hip problems, that sort of thing. You just can't do it. But you're not walking very far. So we want as many as we can to participate in that evangelistic endeavor, but also just to be a part of the group. Even if you can't do that, you can certainly send cards out and encourage others and be a part of a group. So we hope that even more will participate in that. If you're not in a group, just let me, one of the elders, know. We'll make sure that you get involved in that, become a part of one of the groups. Ephesians chapter 5 and at verse 27, as has just been read for us, was our text for this morning and again tonight, where Paul talks about a glorious church. And we said this morning that really Paul there is looking forward. He's looking to the future when Christ will come back. And he will, of course, receive his bride, that is the church. And at that time, we recognize that the church will be in its perfect state, filled with those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, been cleansed, all their sins have been cleansed by that precious blood. So indeed, it will be a church that is holy and without blemish. And while we can't reach that kind of perfection here on earth, we can certainly strive for it. We can try to be the best local churches that we can possibly be. We can try to be local churches that are holy and without spot or without blemish. We can do our very best to be a glorious church. And that's what we should want here at Brown Street. And so this morning we looked at 3 things along those lines. We talked about being a scriptural church. That really is the appropriate place to start, because you can't be a glorious church if you're not a scriptural church. And so we ought to be able to read of the church that we are a member of in the scriptures, that is, in the Bible. And so we talked about several things in connection with that. And then we talked about being a Christ-centered church. A glorious church is a church that is filled with individuals who are not self-centered, but Christ-centered. People who want to do what God wants them to do and who want to follow Jesus in an absolute sense. And again, none of us will reach the ideal. None of us will be perfect with regard to that. But we can all strive to put Jesus Christ and His cause first in our life. And when you have a local church filled with the majority of members doing that, then you'll be well on your way to being a glorious church. And so we talked about that. And then finally, we talked about a glorious church being a converted church. And again, we talked about several things along those lines. And we emphasized how that we need to set our minds on things above. That is a sign of an individual who has truly changed or who has truly been converted, his affection or her affections change. And so now we think and we focus and we aim for heaven and heavenly things. But we emphasize the idea of setting your mind on things above has to really do with setting your mind on the things that belong to God, on heavenly things. And we emphasize that a part of that is putting God's will first in our life, understanding the importance of the sovereignty and the authority of God in all of the decisions that we make. And then we emphasize that when we do that, there will naturally be a change in our outward actions as well. So again, when you have a local church that is filled with members who have truly been converted like that, then you'll have a glorious church. Now for the next couple of minutes, let's talk about three more simple things. A glorious church is a giving church. That is, a local church that is filled with members who are willing to give of themselves. Really, the religion of our Lord is all about giving. We should be a giving people because we serve a giving God. We should be a giving people because of what Jesus said in Acts chapter 20, you remember. He simply said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, Paul quotes that. We don't know exactly when Jesus said that or where he was, but we know that he said it. So we know that it's true. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. There are a lot of blessings involved in giving. And so all of us should want to be a giving people. And that involves sometimes sacrificing. In fact, the highest form of giving is always going to involve some kind of sacrifice. Certainly, that was true with God. God so loved the world that He gave. And so He sacrificed something. In that case, He sacrificed His only begotten Son. And He had the highest degree of love. And every local church that is going to be glorious is going to be characterized by that kind of love that will result in giving people. And so we should strive to be a giving people. Now, there's a lot of things that we could emphasize with regard to that. But let's just look at a few things. We should give ourselves as servants to others. Remember Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn your Bibles over there. I'm sure that you're familiar with this text. But notice, this was the kind of person that Paul was. Now, we sort of saw that this morning when we saw that Paul was willing to count all things but loss. In that case, he said, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. And so he was willing to do that for Jesus. But Paul did a whole lot of sacrificing just for other people. And he emphasizes that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at about verse 19. 1 Corinthians 9 at verse 19. He says, for though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. He says, to the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. So Paul was a giver, wasn't he? He was willing in this case to become a servant to other people. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 or chapter 4 at verse 5, he said, we preach Christ Jesus, not ourselves, But then he said, if ourselves, we preach ourselves as servants to you. And so Paul recognized that he was to serve other people. And that really is what Christianity is all about. Are you willing to give yourself as a servant? A glorious church is a church that is filled with individual members who are willing to serve other people. That's a glorious church. That's what a glorious church looks like. That's a part of giving. There are several other things we could talk about. Certainly, we could give in the form of prayer. And again, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he emphasized the importance of that. In that particular passage, you might remember, we're studying that on Sunday morning, you might remember that in that passage, Paul actually was talking about the prayers of others. And he was referring to the fact that when he was in Asia, he was in a life-threatening situation. He didn't think he was going to get out of it. He said, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, but then God delivered him. And he gave credit to the brethren at Corinth for praying for him and his companions. Like he didn't say, oh, just a coincidence. You all did a little praying and coincidentally we were delivered. No, he said, you all helped by your prayers. And that's what prayer can do. If you can't give anything else, you can pray. You can give prayer. And we need to be a praying people. Again, a glorious church is a praying church. A church made up with a majority of members who are willing to pray for the cause of Christ. Pray for their brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for evangelistic efforts. Paul emphasizes that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I believe it is, where he asks for prayers of brethren when he goes out and preaches the word, that the word will have free course. And he understood then the power of prayer. And so certainly you can give that. And you can give monetarily. That's usually what we think about first, isn't it? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. We need to lay by in store as God has prospered us. And now we emphasize all the time that we're not under the old law, and so we're not commanded to tithe, but we do need to give as we have been prospered. And a glorious church is a giving church, is a church made up of members who are willing to give not only from the standpoint of being servants or not only from the standpoint of prayer, but even monetarily. That puts us in position to do the work that Jesus has given us to do so we can be a glorious church. But you need members who are willing to give. And I'm quite sure that this congregation is like most congregations. One thing we don't do in churches of Christ that are faithful, we don't really keep tabs on how much individuals are giving. We simply don't do that. Denominational churches do that all the time. The preacher wants to make sure that everyone is tithing. Well, we're not commanded to tithe, so we don't do that sort of thing. And so the fact of the matter is, I don't really know how this congregation gives from an individual standpoint. I know, as I began to say a moment ago, if this congregation is like most congregations, there are some of you who give more even than God expects. There's some of you who don't give as much as God expects. And it kind of works itself out. But individually, we're going to have to all answer to God. Are you giving as God has prospered you? You don't have to tithe, but you need to impress God. You need to make sure that God is pleased with the monetary amount that you're giving on the first day of the week, because that emphasizes the love that you have for God, the love that you have for the cause of Christ. And of course, all the things that we do with the Lord's money, benevolent work, it would therefore emphasize the love that you have for the weak in the congregation, those who need benevolent work. It says a whole lot how much you give. Are you willing to give? A glorious church generally is a church that gives well, even monetarily. We could emphasize the whole thing, that we need to give ourselves to God. We probably could have put that first. Paul, of course, commended the brethren of Macedonia because, you remember, they begged Paul. They wanted to be involved in helping those poor saints in Jerusalem. And so even though they were in poverty themselves, Paul commended them because they came to Paul and they begged him to be a part of helping those poor saints. And Paul said, boy, I was impressed. You gave, he said about them that they gave even more than Paul expected. But you remember, I think it is verse 5 where he said that they first gave themselves to the Lord. And that's where it all begins. And that's why I said just a second ago, that probably could have been the very first point. If you first give yourself to the Lord won't have to worry about you giving prayer. The Lord won't have to worry about you giving yourself as a servant or even giving monetarily. If you first give yourself to God, you'll give in these other ways and in ways that we haven't even mentioned tonight. But that's a glorious church. A glorious church is a giving church. So are we a glorious church here at Brown Street? Another thing, a glorious church is a truth-defending church. Now let me just say, before we even get into that, that there is no question at all that there is an absolute truth when it comes down to God's Word and God's ways. Like, there's a lot of people that don't believe that. And I'm talking about religious people, mainstream denominations who really don't think that there's any real truth out there, that all truth is sort of subjective in nature. And what that basically means is that truth for you is at the end of the day, whatever you really want it to be. Like, what is truth to me may not be truth to you, and what is truth to you may not really be truth to me. It's all sort of subjective. And that's why a lot of denominational churches, they don't say a whole lot about defending the truth or things like that. Just love Jesus, because they really don't think there's absolute truth. But the Bible clearly teaches that there is. There is absolute truth. And we know that because we are commanded in the Bible, first of all, to defend it. How do you defend something that is simply subjective? No, there is objective truth. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the Word of God. And a glorious church is a church that is willing to defend that truth. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 15 that the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. That means that we are to be the very foundation of the truth. The truth should rest upon the Brown Street Church of Christ. We should be the pillar and the ground of truth. But we have to defend it. You might remember over in the book of Philippians what Paul said. In Philippians chapter 1 and at verse 15. Paul writes, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. That was Paul. Paul said, I was put here to defend the gospel. And I don't know that we can conclude that Paul was an apostle and that, he was put here as a Christian. We were all put here to defend the gospel of Christ. To defend the truth. We talked this morning about being evangelistically minded, and certainly we need to be that. We need to be fishers of men, but we need to be people who are willing to defend the truth. There's all kind of error out there, and new false doctrine is popping up all the time. And old false doctrine sometimes comes back and it's renewed, even by brethren sometimes. And we need to be willing to defend the truth. Jude said we must earnestly contend for the faith. And at the end of the day, that's a glorious church. A glorious church is not a church that takes doctrinal issues and sweeps them under the rug. A glorious church is not a church that has a mentality that says, well, we don't want to make anybody mad, and we don't want to get involved in anything controversial, so we'll just ignore this doctrinal error that has crept in. No, a glorious church will earnestly contend for the faith. Now, we can do that with love, and we can do that with kindness. In fact, that is an absolute must. God demands that we speak the truth in love. But we must defend the truth. And another thing along those lines, we have to be willing to declare all of the truth. You remember over in Acts chapter 20, turn your Bibles over there just for a moment. Listen to Paul as he describes what he did when he worked with the church at Ephesus in Acts the 20th chapter. And at verse 20, he said, "How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable in teaching you in public and from house to house." Paul didn't hold anything back. Down at verse 27, he says, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." That's exactly what we must do. That's what I must do as a gospel preacher. But you know what? That's what you must demand of me. And that's what you should be doing as well. As you talk to friends and family members, declaring the whole counsel of God, there shouldn't be anything about the gospel that you're ashamed of. But we should be teaching the whole thing, all the truth. And another thing along those lines, as we think about a church that is willing to defend the truth, being a glorious church, in order to do the things I just talked about, you have to know the truth, don't you? And so you need to be studying the truth. You need to be studying the Word of God, growing in your knowledge of the truth. And that takes time, and that takes discipline, and sometimes some sacrifice of some other things, but that's what we need to do. And a church then that is glorious is going to be a knowledgeable church. It's going to be a church that can defend the truth, is willing to defend it, but has the ability to do it because they have the knowledge that they should have. And so that's a glorious church. And then one more thing very quickly. A glorious church is a rejoicing church. And that's so important. If we're going to give God glory, as we've said many times before, in fact, we just recently did a series of lessons on holiness in which the final lesson, we emphasized the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And Paul in Philippians 4 at verse 4 commands that we rejoice in the Lord always. We need to be a rejoicing people. Because it's important as people view us, as they see us, as we go through the struggles of life and all the ups and downs of everyday living, just like people in the world do, they need to see us not always depressed, not always irritable, not always annoyed at other people. They need to see a people who are rejoicing because they need to realize we have something to rejoice about. And that's where sometimes we slip. We get so focused on the here and now. Listen, we understand that there are a lot of things in this world that can make us unhappy. But the idea of happiness points to the physical things of this world. It's hard to be happy sometimes with the things that are going on in society and things that just happen in our life. Every one of you have been unhappy at times. We're all unhappy once in a while. And sometimes it might last just for a couple of days, or it might even last just for a couple of hours, or it might even last longer than that. But you can rejoice in the Lord even when the circumstances of life doesn't allow you to be happy. You can still have a smile on your face. You can still tell other people about all the wonderful blessings that you have in Christ. And most of all, that your name is written in the book of life, and you can rejoice over that. You remember over in the book of Luke, I believe it is Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke, the 10th chapter at verse 17. This is when Jesus sent some people out to do some work. But notice it says the 72 returned. This is Luke chapter 10 at verse 17. The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like a lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemies, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Isn't that something to rejoice about? And listen to it. As long as you are faithful in the Lord, that doesn't change. No matter what kind of news you get from the doctor, No matter how your job or occupation is going, no matter the ups and downs of life, your name is written in heaven. And Jesus said, rejoice over that. And people in the world should see that in us. A glorious church isn't filled with people who are always in a bad mood, grumpy, and frowns on their faces. That's not a glorious church at all. A glorious church is a church filled with people who are rejoicing because we have our priorities right. As we talked about this morning, our affections are on things above. So no matter what's going on around us, people still see that we can rejoice. And some people might even ask why. And we can tell them all about the gospel in Christ. We can tell them about our names being written in the book of life, about our names being written in heaven, and how that they can have their names in that same book if they would obey the gospel. But if people know that you're a member of the Church of Christ, and they see that you just always seem to have a problem, they don't really want to be in the situation that you're in. And so we need to be a rejoicing church. Well, these are just a few things. We can certainly double this list, but we should strive to be a glorious church. As we've said already twice, we know we can't reach that ideal, that state of perfection in the here and now. If you're in the church and you walk in the light, you walk after the Spirit and you're faithful unto death, you'll be in that glorified church when Jesus comes back to get his bride. You'll be a part of that church that is holy and without blemish. But there is a sense in which we can at least strive for that now. Let's be a glorious church here at Brown Street. Let's do all we can to do as much as we can to bring glory to God so that we can indeed be a church that is pleasing to Christ. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? If you want to become a child of God, you can't bring God glory while there's still sin attached to your life. And the thing about it is you can't get rid of it all by yourself, but God can help you. He's already, in fact, done his part. He sent his son to die on Calvary's cross. Jesus was willing to give up heaven and come down here to earth, take on a flesh and blood body, and become that propitiation on Calvary's cross so that you could have your sins washed away by his blood. But you have to do something. You have to act. You have to obey the gospel of Christ. Again, as we said this morning, believe in Jesus and be baptized. Then you have to walk faithfully unto death, Revelation 2 and at verse 10. If you haven't been doing that, you need to repent and ask God for forgiveness. And he'll be faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Even this very night, if you need to come forward and ask the prayers of the church, we'll be willing to pray for you. We'll be happy to do that. There'll be no judging going on or anything like that. We'll just encourage you the best we can now and even in the privacy of our home and in any way that we can. You need to be right with God. The soul is too important. Eternity is too long not to be ready. If you're not ready, get ready tonight as we together stand and sing.